Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to the book of Colossians. Book of Colossians, the third chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Colossians, the third chapter. Let's read verse number 20 and verse number 21. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I again want to thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you, Father, for those who've come tonight to be here to thank you and praise you for your goodness and your kindness, and Lord, to hear from your Word. And Father, we need to be instructed tonight from the Word of God. We ask for your help. And Lord, this preacher needs you. I need your power. I need your wisdom. And Lord, I ask you to do what needs to be done in our lives tonight that would praise you and honor you. And Lord, would help change our lives in such a way that would be pleasing to you. So tonight we thank you and praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Verse number 20 and verse number 21, I believe, should be coupled together because God gives some instructions, first of all, to the children, which we last week preached on that verse number 20. And we were told, children were told to obey their parents. That's a proper right thing. And then God comes along and gives some instructions unto the fathers. I believe the parents is involved in this. I believe the mom and dad both, but he gives the instructions to the father. I don't know if you ever noticed it, but when over in Ephesians and here also, when God is giving some instructions, he always gives first to the one who is in submission. If you'll notice the one right before that, he talks to the wife before he talks to the husband. God does it this way. The one who is submission, he talks to them first, and then he talks to the one who is over them. So he talked to the children, which are to be in submission unto their parents. They're to obey their parents. And then, though, he has something to say to the fathers. If you'd follow on down with that, you'll notice he begins to speak with the servants. And then after that, in chapter 4, he begins to speak with the masters. That's God's way of doing things. We may not understand all the whys he does it, but that's the way he does it. And that's the way he does it here in the scriptures. So he's given some counsel and instructions to the children, and they pretty well got beat up last week. I mean, you know, we've done our best to tell them the importance of the obeying their parents, and I don't think we did beat them up. I think we just taught to them the scriptures, the Word of God, and showed them how important it was. And let me restate to you, young people, you will do right, you will do proper to obey mom and dad. That's a proper right thing to do. The scripture says so, and if the scripture says so, it is right to do it. Amen. No reason not to. You just do it because God says to do it. It's proper and right to do it. But then he comes along and he gives us some instructions. He says unto us that the fathers are not to provoke your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And what he's saying to us is there is a possibility that we can discourage our children wrongly. Now let me state this first of all, so that we won't get on the wrong track. If you have done something wrong, and you are getting corrected for that in a right and proper way, you may be discouraged, but that's not the discouragement God's talking about here. All right? So, I mean, just because you're getting discouraged because you've been corrected for something that you have did wrong, that's not the discouragement that God is talking about here. But he's talking about unnecessarily provoking our children to wrath, unnecessarily, which would cause them to bring discouragement into their life. So this instruction is given to the father, and he says to provoke them not. And it's that word provoke speaks of to stimulate or to excite. First of all, I want to take you to some scripture that will help us to understand a little bit about what it means to provoke. Now, over in the scriptures we're going to look at is over in Hebrews, the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. But in this situation, when he uses provoke there, he's using it in a right and proper way, in a positive way, instead here of a negative way. But over in Hebrews, the 10th chapter of Hebrews, he says in verse number 24, he says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking and assembling ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now the Lord tells us in this situation that we are to provoke one another. It's a right and proper thing, according to the Word of God here, we're to provoke unto love and to good works. It is right for us to stimulate one another, to excite one another to do right. In a church situation, it is right for us to do that. We should provoke one another unto love and to good works. We should provoke one another to do right. You see, that's a right and proper thing to do. It's what God is telling us to do. And in this situation, it is right for us to provoke one another, to stimulate, to excite one another. So it is all right if we do that. It's right if we do that. In fact, it's a proper thing that God has instructed us to do within the church family, is to encourage one another and to help one another and provoke them to do right. I've tried to share with you down through the years, but it's all right if you see a brother that is stepping out of line, that is not doing just correctly, not right. If you will do it in love, it's right for you to help stimulate him and excite him to do right. You as a brother have a responsibility to do that, and to encourage one another and say, "Brother, you know you're getting off track here, and you're not being faithful, or you're not doing this, you're not doing that. We're not on you. We love you dearly as a brother, but you need to get back in line. You need to get back doing the things the way they should be done." That's right and proper. Amen. I've said to you also that most of the time we don't want to do that because we're afraid somebody's going to get mad at us. But the thing about it is, it's right and proper if the brethren help provoke one another to good works. You may be surprised what you're just a word of kindness, and we'll talk about words a little bit later on in our message, but words of kindness and encouragement will do to one another. And sometimes it'll catch and head off some problems that are not necessary to develop into something wrong. You can be a blessing. You can be a help by just simply going up and saying, "Brethren, I love you in the Lord, but look at what's going on here. Come on, let's get back in line and help us and be here faithfully," or whatever it might be that the problem is. Provoke them unto love and to good works. Amen. That's right and proper. So what God is saying to us here, though, is he's saying we also can provoke in the wrong way. We can stimulate and excite someone to do something wrongly, and that's what he's talking about here when he talks about the children, and he's talking about the parents. We're not to provoke or stimulate or excite our children to anger, because it'll bring discouragement into their life. Now, the fact that God commands us not to do this shows me something. It shows me that we can treat our children in a way that we should not treat them. It tells us, as far as I'm concerned, that we just cannot handle our children and treat our children any way we please. There's not only some direction for the children, but there's some direction for us. And we have some instructions from the Lord also. So I believe if we'll take it in a right and proper way, we'll understand that we, just because God has given them to us as our children, we can't just go and treat them any way we want to. We have some guidelines also that God has put on us. The Bible says in Romans, the 14th chapter, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I still believe that. I believe that in the Scripture. I believe there's a day coming when we will have to give ourselves an account unto God. I mean, don't you believe that? And I believe also that also will include the way we raised our children, the way we treated our children, whether we provoked them to anger or not. I believe those things are going to be, we're going to be held accountable for those things. So we need to learn, and we need to learn what God wants and how he wants us to do. In fact, the Bible even tells us in Matthew, the 12th chapter, that every idle word that men speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. I've read that verse many, many times, and because I'm a preacher, I have to do a lot of speaking. I am required to do a lot of speaking. I do a lot of speaking. I talk a lot. And I worry many times about the idle words. I don't want to put forth idle words that I'm going to have to give account for down the road. Now, some people are not required to talk much. Some people are not required to do it anyway, but sometimes people are not required to talk very much. And so it's pretty easy for people who are not required to sit back and criticize someone who has to speak all the time. You're in a position where you have to speak all the time. It's where God has put you, and that's the way it is. But we need to remember that every idle word that men speaks, we will be accountable unto God for. And I do believe that that includes our speaking to our children. I believe all of that's included. Amen? So again, I'm just trying to lay some groundwork here. The importance of the way we treat our children and the way we speak unto our children. I consider this an awesome responsibility. I believe that probably I would have loved to know some of these things a lot more when I was younger in the process of rearing up my children. I wish I knew more about it. I'm not criticizing anyone. I'm not blaming anyone. I learned a long time ago the blame falls here. But I was never and wasn't saved till I was 26 years of age and started to preach when I was 30. And I was not taught many things about rearing children. I'm not blaming anybody. I take it all right here. This is where it's at, and that's where it belongs. But I'm saying to you, I did not know the scriptures. I did not understand and know what God said about the rearing of children. I wish I could go back and redo some of that. You can't. But I wish I'd have had the understanding that I have now today. And that's why I'm trying to help you. No one stood before me, this preacher, and preached to me the things that I'm preaching to you about family. No one. Again, I'm not blaming them. I'm saying I should have got into the scriptures. I should have understood. I should have known. But I'm simply saying to you that it's an awesome responsibility to rear children. Awesome, awesome responsibility. Because first of all, they do not belong to us. Now I know we call them our children. Don and I call them our grandchildren. But ultimately, they belong to God. The Bible teaches us that children are a heritage of the Lord. Children are His possession. If we'll keep that in our mind, it'll help us so much as we deal with our children. And remember, they are actually His. You know, He lends them to us for a while. We get the privilege of helping to train them and teach them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We get the privilege of all that, but they are His. It's like God comes along and says, raise them for me. And that's basically what He's saying to the parents. He says, raise them for me. Because folks, in eternity, although they certainly are our children here, but they are God's children. They belong to Him. They have an eternal soul that is His. And He's the one who has given them life. He's just given us the responsibility to rear them up and teach them and train them in the ways of the Lord. You see, God has given us that great privilege to do that. Now, as far as children is concerned, it's the children's responsibility to follow the leadership and teachings of the parents. I tried to stress this last week. I stressed this to our young people. You better listen to your parents. You better listen to your parents. They have been put into your life to help direct your life. And if a mom and dad is against a decision of yours, you ought to look at it real close. We even touched on the decision of getting married, and we stressed that, where that if a mom and dad or parents was be against a marriage, well, you better draw back from that. And I believe that with all of my heart, because God has put within those parents a special discernment, because they are the parents and they're the ones to help in the leadership of those children, you see. Just because somebody gets out of the house, all at once they think that they're not under any type of authority. They are under authority. I believe something. I believe until you're married, you have somewhat of a responsibility to listen to mom and dad. Because every person needs someone over them. See, that's what we've got today. We've got this thing of people running off and getting out and moving out someplace, and they're on their own. They're going to be this or that. Well, folks, that's not the way God intended it. God intended you to have some authority over your life and over my life. As a preacher, I have God Almighty over me, guarantee you, and He takes me to the woodshed when I need to get to the woodshed, just like you take yours. My wonderful God takes care of me, and He sees to it that I am straightened up when I need to get straightened up. Amen. So young people, that's why God has put parents over you. He's put them over you to give you direction for life. Now, the future life, as far as I'm concerned, is in the hands, much in the hands of the parents. What these young people are going to be is going to mainly be developed by the parents and the years that they spend in the home. Again, I believe that. All other kind of influences are wonderful influences. We at Blessed Hope Baptist Church cannot take the credit for the fine young people that we have in this church. We can say, thank God we're able to help them and be a blessing and help encourage them and help teach them and all of that. But I want to say it goes back to the parent. And we are certainly grateful we have parents in this church that loves their children and wants to direct them in the right way. There's an old saying the Catholic have. They say that if you give me a child for 7 years, he'll be a Catholic for life. Now, I want to tell you something. The first 7 years of a child's life is oh so important. Now, we've dealt with many of these things. I realize that, but I just want to say to you, because some of you got real small children, you must understand something. At that early age, it's so important how you train them, what you put into them at a very, very early age. That's one of the things I was saying to you a while ago. I'm not complaining, not griping, but my youngest son was 3 years old. My youngest son was 3 years old before we ever got saved. And there was many things already put in them by that time. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I can't change that. You can't change that where you are. But I'm saying to you who can, the first years of their life is so important. And the direction you give them early in life is so, so important. Now, I just want to give you four different actions that will provoke them to wrath. And we'll just cover these. We won't spend a whole lot of lengthy time on them. But I want to give you these four things. First of all, one of the things that will provoke a child to wrath is to be unfair or unjust in your dealings with them. You have got to understand something. Children are people too. They're just little people. And they are people too. And they need some things from you because they don't know how to be a big people. They just don't know how to do that yet. And they need some instructions from the parents to help them become big people. To grow up. And they're not going to be able to do that on their own. It's impossible. They need some instructions and some help. You want to know why that we got the problems in America? You want to know why we got so many out there on the streets? They don't have any parents to teach them and train them in the right way, in a godly way. And that's why they're running all over this nation, out on the streets, and doing all kinds of ungodly things, because they haven't had godly parents that would train them up in the ways of the Lord. Now, I'm certainly not saying that once in a while you'll see something, see somebody come out of a good family and they go wrong and all of this. But I want to tell you, you look around you right here in this church. I mean, you look around you and you just watch, you just look at the young people of this church. Sure, some of them's got some problems. They got some growing up problems. That's just part of life. But you look at these young people, and I don't know about you, but I say thank God. We got some fine young people in this church, and I've encouraged our people of this church. Be a blessing to them. Help them. Encourage them in the ways of the Lord, and just help them. And don't be down on them all the time, but be an encouragement to them and help lead them in the right way, you see. Because I want to say something. We in this church right here, we're blessed. And I know other churches are too, but you look around at your young people. We are blessed. I mean, God has been so good to us because we've got some fine young people. They're not out here running around on the street and getting into dope. Well, some of them. No. But they're not running around getting into dope and committing crimes and all of those kind of things. They're not doing that. They're just a blessing. And I say to you, and it goes back to the parents that is giving them some right instructions. And bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I say thank God for the parents and what they're doing. But remember something, they are little people. And they're trying to grow up. And they need to be shown. You need to be honest with them. You need to be fair with them. And I'm talking about the right kind of fairness. But to be honest with them, you need to do that. Show them honesty because they're learning from you how to be when they're up there. So again, I'm saying to you, don't be unfair or unjust in your dealings with them. Have compassion on them and remember who they are. They're someone who God has given you to raise for Him. And they're very, very special. I mean, you need to say, this is something God has given me, the great privilege, and I need to have compassion upon my own children, you see. We need to do that. Sometimes, if we don't be careful, we have two sets of standards. We have one for other people, and we have one for our own children. I'm going to confess. When I first went into the ministry, I did not know how to be a preacher. I was called. I never thought I would be called. I don't even know today why I've been called. But God called me anyway. And I did not know how to be a preacher. All I could do is hear other people and try to learn what I was supposed to do as a preacher. You get into a church and here's what happens. The children of the preacher is supposed to be perfect and the rest of them are not. They're supposed to be perfect. Now, let me say something to you. The children of a preacher has great responsibilities. Heavy responsibilities. I'm not lifting that off of them. And the preacher and his wife have great responsibilities to take that upon their shoulders and understand as a preacher and his wife, we have a responsibility to set an example. But what I want to say to you is, children, whether they're preacher's children or deacon's children or anybody else's children, are children. And I want to tell you something. The first few years of our ministry, some of our children took a beating from other people and even sometimes from this fellow because I thought they needed to be perfect. I was taught that. And I'm just saying to you, they're just young people. They're growing up. They're learning how to be an adult. And thank God they're learning how to be a Christian adult. Now, we're not lifting any responsibility. I'm just simply saying to you, you don't have two sets of standards. Amen? You don't have two sets of standards for your own children and other people. You've got to remember, you've got to treat them with fairness. You've got to have understanding in your life for them as they grow up. You have to have some understanding, and you have to show that understanding to them because they're at the age they are. You can't expect a 5-year-old to react like a 15-year-old or a 5-year-old to react like a 10-year-old. They are at the level they are. And you have to understand that and be a blessing to them, an encouragement to them, you see. And if we don't, we're going to be in the process of provoking them, you see. You know, sometimes we convict our children without evidence. Sometimes we want to hang them on the gallows when all they deserved is a smack on the hand. You see, you don't send someone to the electric chair for picking up a pack of gum. And there's times when we parents are guilty of wanting to put them in the electric chair because they've done just one small thing. That small thing must be dealt with. Because small things build into big things. But do it accordingly as it is right and fit to do it. It's a proper right thing to do it. We've had so many experiences because in the school, you run onto all kinds of things in the school when you have a school. 1977, we started this school here at Blessed Hope Baptist School, the first year of school. And You run onto all kinds of things, and you get in the situation where you realize that there is some parents who says, my child has never done anything wrong. You don't understand who you're talking to, bud. My child just doesn't do it. And then we've got sometimes those that says, if it was done, he probably did it. I mean, no evidence, no nothing. But we figure he's already guilty, and I'm saying he, I don't know why I'm saying he, I could say he or she, couldn't I, boys? But we've got to be very careful. I remember one incident that happened way back there right after we first started the school, and we had some writing on the bathroom wall. You say the Christian school? Yeah, we had it. Someone wrote a nice little thing there on the bathroom wall, and so we was tracking it down. Amen. I mean, we was doing detective work. And we was trying to, we was pretty sure who it was. And so we had the parent in, and this parent just went ballistic and said, my son would not do that. Absolutely would not do that. And I mean, he was so mad, he was screaming at us. So I said, well, we got to get the truth out of this kid. So we put him on the rack and put him there for 3 days and hung him from his thumbs for another day. No, we didn't. Really didn't. But anyway, what did happen, though, the boy did have some conviction about it and admitted he done it. You ought to have seen an embarrassed parent that had said, my kid did not do this. Oh, yes, he did. What I'm simply saying is this, folks, your children will do some things wrong. This is one of the things about the school that we have to be so careful with, because when parents put their children in school, you have to start dealing with them in a completely different way. All at once, you've got them for 5 days a week. And they don't understand it, because their little child was always perfect. And all at once, he went to school. And now he's doing little things he's getting demerits for. And they just cannot understand that. I'm just simply saying, parents, wise up. Amen. No, do something about it. Correct them when they need correcting, but understand they have a sin nature in them. Every single one of us has a sin nature. Your children has a sin nature that has to be dealt with. Amen. So let's just be a blessing and a help, because overall, let me say to you, overall, I say this, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, we've got some tremendous young people in our church. Tremendous young people in our church. And will we have to deal with them about things? Certainly. Sure we will. But we're not going to put them in the electric chair or hang them from the gallows for something that just needs taken care of, something that just needs dealt with. So again, I think that's where parents has got to be very careful. You need to be very fair with your children. I'm talking about the right kind of fairness. You need to have some compassion for them and remember who they are. They're a special heritage that God has given you to train and to rear, to raise. And so they're a very special gift that God has given unto you. We also provoke by erratic and unpredictable commands and restrictions. There's sometimes we put restrictions on our children that are uncalled for. Sometimes they're very erratic. We come along and we say all at once in the mood of the day. Parent is in a bad mood. Child comes along, does something he's probably done before, and all at once, bang. I mean, you get hit. That's a discouragement to a child. They do not understand this. What I'm saying to you is you do not correct, you do not put restrictions on their life simply because you're in a bad mood that day. Very, very important you listen to me. You've got to understand. You have to have some predictable actions here that you expect out of your children. This is what you expect out of your children. This is what they are to do. They must understand that. They must know what the guidelines are. They must know what the rules are. You couldn't keep a rule if you didn't know what it was. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever rebel at the rules of the church? or the standard of the church? Do you ever do that as a parent, as an adult? Then why are we getting so mad at our children sometimes if we balk at some of the rules and restrictions we put down? And sometimes those rules and restrictions are put there simply in an erratic manner when we have just had a bad day and we're mad, and so we've decided, buddy, you're not going to do anything for the next 10 weeks. Amen? When probably all would have taken care of it, maybe a weak grounding or maybe a good old-fashioned spanking would have taken care of it. Do you believe in spanking? The Bible believes in it. It's good, young people. Don't get mad when your parents spank you. It's right and proper. It's good. As long as they do it in a proper manner, do it in a godly manner, it is right, it is good, and it is proper if you do that. Amen? As Jesse Beller said, he's glad his daddy don't spank like my daddy did. Jesse Beller told his daddy that, I'm glad you don't spank like Pastor's daddy did. He said he could still feel it. Amen? Yeah, and I won't tell you, I almost still can. Amen. Just quit. Amen. So in other words, we've got to be very, very careful. We've got to be sure and set some standards and policies in our children's life that are steadfast. They know what to expect. They know where the line is. That's fair, is it not? Absolutely. You see, most commands, or too many commands, are based on a sudden whim or an impulse. We decide to just really put the hammer on them because they did this. Folks, you can discourage your children. You can provoke them to wrath. You can provoke them to anger, and you can discourage them in a terrible way if you don't do it properly and right. They don't know where they stand with you. One day they're okay, the next day they're not, and they may have done the same thing one day as they did the next day, and this day you're so mad that you're ready to kill them. There's got to be some standards that are set, that are predicted standards, that they know exactly what is expected of them. Amen? Or you'll discourage them, you see. God, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion, and I believe that. God has laid down some things in Scripture that has given me a standard to know what he expects of me. And when I don't do it, I know it's because the Word of God has already told me not to do that. I know what God expects of me. Do you? You know how God wants you to live? Do you know when you do something that is absolutely wrong according to the Scriptures? And you know that? Do you understand that? Sure you do. Well, your children deserve the same thing. They deserve to have something laid out and laid down. What do you expect of us, Dad and Mom? What is it you want us to do? See, they may not ask you that, but they need to know that. Not only that, we provoke by showing favoritism. I read in the Bible, over in the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, that God is no respecter of persons. I believe something with all my heart. I believe that every child, we have four children, I believe every single one of those is different. They are not the same. I raised four different children, four in the same family. My wife and I raised four in the same family, but I want to tell you right now, they're all different. And you and I have to understand, and we have to let them know, no matter who they are loved of their parents. Let me say something to you. Do not be afraid to say to your children, I love you. I was shocked to death years ago when a student here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and when I was counseling with her, said to me, my daddy has never said, I love you. And she was, I think, a junior, maybe a senior, but she was either a junior or senior, and she said, my daddy has never told me, I love you. Now listen to me. They need to hear, I love you. They need to know that they're loved. There's multitudes of ways that you can show your children that you love them. And they need to know that. They need to have no doubt whatsoever that they're loved of their parents. Loved of God, but loved of their parents. And I say to you, once again, you're going to provoke them if you show favoritism. Folks, one child is not more important than the other one. No, no, no. They're all different. Every single one of them is different, and every one of them has different needs of their life. Every single one of them is that way. Understand that. You see, what happens is we begin to treat them because of the abilities of their life, or their looks, or their talents, or whatever else it might be, their abilities or their personalities. We begin to treat them differently with the other one because they've got a better personality. They've got better talents. They may look prettier. They may look more handsome. That's foolishness. God made them. Every single one of them, they're just as important as the other child that may have some abilities and talents in their life. They're just as important. And when we begin to show favoritism to a child, that's a wrong thing to do. It may be an easy thing to do, but it's a wrong thing to do. Amen? So I'm saying to you, you know what you can do? You can provoke them. You can provoke them to anger. You can cause them to be discouraged because pretty soon they feel like that they're not up to here, their brother or sister. They're not as important as their brother and sister is. I'm saying to you, they are as important. They're just as precious because God is the one that gave them. And you know what? We can say, we can show that by simply making little statements. We can say, you know, Johnny, he's such a quiet boy. You know, he's so quiet and he just never gives us any problem. I wish the other ones was like that. You know what you've just said? You've just said, they're not like Johnny and they're not as good as Johnny. But I sure wish they were. Do you realize what's going to happen in that child? Do you understand that that child will probably carry that with them for the rest of their life? Children, don't forget that. What I'm saying to you folks, don't say things like that to your children. You don't want to show favoritism to one of your children and say his child is good because he's quiet, or his child is good because he's smart and all of that. We wish the other ones was just like that. You know what you're going to produce in that child? You're going to produce pride in that child. And you're going to produce resentment in the other ones. Because every single child is a gift of God, a heritage of the Lord, and they're very, very special. I don't like to use this illustration. I am very proud of every one of my children. I love dearly every one of my children. And some people have thought sometimes that I surely must love Jerry first more because he's a preacher. I love Jerry very, very much. I am proud of Jerry. I am thankful for what God has done in his life. But I want to tell you something. I'm very thankful for what God has done in David's life. I'm very thankful for what God has done in Bobby's life. I'm very thankful for what God is doing in my daughter Lori's life. They are very, very special. They're different professions and different personalities and all those things. But I personally, I can say this to you today. My children, I am proud of you. And I am just grateful that you love God and are walking with God and you're fighting the battles of this old life. I know all those things, but I am very grateful for that God gave them to us. Yes. And you know what? We've got to be sure they understand that. Amen. Now, each one has different abilities, and we encourage those abilities, and we're glad about them, their accomplishments that each one of them has. We're thankful and grateful for those things, but that doesn't make the one any less than the other one. And we need to remember that, because you'll give them a lifetime of resentment over the fact they think someone else is more important than them, and they're not standing up to the standard that you expect in their life. We provoke also when we pick at them and taunt them when we know they are already angry. I brought that out and I wrote that down because I've seen parents actually do this. I've seen children that are angry anyway. They've had a not just a bad day, they've gotten in some trouble, and I've seen parents just nag at them and taunt at them and make them more angry than they was before. Folks, you're going to provoke them to anger. And you're going to discourage them. It's not a right thing to do. You need to be a help and a blessing to that child. That child has to be dealt with. Yes, that child has to be corrected. That child needs correction, needs you to deal with it. They don't need you taunting them and causing them to be more angry. I just want to give you some things here. And one of the things I'll say before I give it, but I want to give you some things that will discourage children. First of all, I want to say to you, there is some things that we sometimes ask of our children that are unreasonable. I touched on that a while ago. Don't ask of a child to do something he's impossible for him to do. And sometimes we request things of children that it's impossible for them to do. It's an unreasonable thing. That child is not able to do that. Be very careful. Watch their ages. Watch what they're capable of doing. Sure, stretch them. Sure, help them to grow. But be very careful. Don't group them in a grouping. I want to say to you that Donna and I did this for a while. We'd say, the boys. I don't know if you've ever done that or not, you know, but we'd say, well, the boys. We grouped them into a little group there. It's the boys. Amen. And you forget sometimes they're not the boys, they're individuals with needs of life. Amen. So be very careful. Do not ask unreasonable or improper things of your child. Look it over before you request this. Look it over before you expect them to do a certain thing. Now, I'm going to give you some things that will discourage them. It's going to discourage them when they feel like it does no good to talk to you, when you're not going to listen anyway. That's going to discourage them. They need to have an open door of communication to speak with you without being reprimanded, without being made fun of. If that being the very first word they speak, you coming down on them and criticizing them for what they're thinking. I didn't say they have the right to come back at you and speak wrongly to you. I'm saying they should have a parents that will at least listen to them and hear them out. Amen? Not only that, don't chasten your child when you're angry. Please don't spank or correct your child if you're angry. I want to show you over in the book of James a couple of verses. In chapter 1. Verse 19. It's the book of James, chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Did you notice what God was saying there? He said, if you want to be swift about anything, be swift to hear. My wife was telling me in her Sunday school class, she was instructing, I think it was in her Sunday school class, that she was telling her students, she teaches the 9th through 12th grade, and she was telling them the importance, if you really want to have a great gift in life, and you want to be someone who is a real blessing, learn to hear, learn to listen, instead of talking. Learn to listen. That's a trait that not too many people have. But it's a great trait. And it's a wonderful thing to learn how to be a listener. You'll be a blessing to more people by being a listener than you will by giving counsel. Do you realize the times, I've told you this before, you realize the times that people have come into my office, my study, and I sat there and they've poured out their heart to me, they got up and left, and I've said not more than 3 or 4 words. And they've said, Pastor, thank you for helping me. And the only reason they got help is because I listened. It's all they needed. Sometimes your children just need to be listened to. And he said here in verse number 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I taught through the book of Proverbs, and I've taught how important it is for us to stop and think before we speak. That's important. If we'd all get in the habit of stopping and thinking, we get in trouble when we retort back immediately. That's when we get in trouble. But we need to stop and listen before we speak. And that takes practice, that takes discipline in your life, that when someone speaks to you, if you stop and listen and hear what they say before you say anything, sometimes it'll save you a whole lot of trouble and keep you from saying something wrong you should not have said. So God says you be swift to hear, slow, he says, to speak, and slow to wrath. And that's what I was talking about. You want to provoke your children to anger. You need to be very slow to get angry, but do not correct them when you're angry. It's a principle of the Bible, the Word of God. Take your time, think it over, think what you should do, and then deal with the situation. We find also another thing that will discourage them is when we give them only criticism. I want you to go with me to the book of Proverbs for a few moments. The book of Proverbs. We'll start at chapter number 12. Chapter number 12, we'll just kind of go through these quickly. Chapter number 12, verse number 25 says this: heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The words that we speak mean a lot to our children. How we speak them mean a lot. What we're going to say to them means a whole lot. And a good word can encourage their heart. Look at chapter 15, verse number 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. We hear that again. We was talking about earlier, how do we respond to our children when they've done wrong? Is it right to begin to scream and holler at them? And no, that's all going to do is stir up wrath. But a soft answer is a correct one. I believe something. I believe in retrospect. I believe in all, after I've studied the Word of God, the right and proper way to treat your children, even in discipline, is to speak very softly to them. I believe that's absolutely correct, absolutely right scripturally. I believe it's true. You can speak to them softly, and you can correct them. You can be firm, but you can speak softly, and you won't stir up wrath. The Word of God promises you that. Look also in chapter 15, verse 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. You see, he tells us that in the right, proper timing, in due season, a word can be a blessing and a help. It can just quiet the situation. There again, we're talking about a soft answer. Look at chapter 16, verse number 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. We've got to understand the importance of words. Not only just to our children, but to each other. We've got to understand those words are absolutely important, and especially when we speak to our children, they're very, very, very important how we speak to them and how we say a thing. It's important to do that. So once again, I'm saying to you, if we only give them criticism, we need to give them some praise. There's many times our children do well all day long, and the only thing we remember is the one thing they did wrong that day. Just remember something. I think I can say all adults and all children have questions about themselves. I don't know whether you know it or not, but we have doubts about whether we're really any good or not. Every person sitting in this room has some doubts about themselves. Not a one of you that don't. You know why? We're old human beings, and we wonder about ourselves. What I'm saying is, as soon as a parent confirms that in a child's life with the wrong kind of words, they'll carry that for the rest of their life. Have you ever heard the words, and I don't want you to answer me, have you ever heard the words from your parents, "I wish I'd never had you"? Do you realize there's many kids walking around that remembers those words? Boy, if I didn't have you around, I could get some things done. I could have a different life. Well, don't worry, they'll carry that with them the rest of their life. They'll remember it. See, words are so, so important. Amen? We've just got to be sure and not provoke our children to wrath or to anger and discourage them. We can do that. Amen? Now, children, I spoke to your parents. Just because they correct you, don't think that's provoking you. Okay? They have a right to correct you, but they need to do it in a proper and a right way, scripturally. Amen? I hope that'll help you. Just hope it'll be a blessing, encouragement to you. Many of you out here still raising children, and there's time for you to still make some adjustments. Amen? You can make some adjustments that'll help for your children for the rest of their life. And I trust that it's been enough of help to you to be a blessing and help you as you rear your children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for the precious Bible and the Word of God, and I thank you for the admonition that you've given us tonight. Lord, do not provoke our children to anger so that they might be discouraged. We ask you, God, to help us to do that. Help us to follow the Scriptures, the Word of God, that your will be done. Thank you for giving us our children, and now you take them and use them to thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.